If you would, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13, and that's the sixth book in the Old Testament behind the books of the Pentateuch, and that is the writing of Moses, of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and lastly that of Deuteronomy. Looking at Joshua chapter 13, and if you're there, just go ahead and stand. And we'll know that you made it to the Scripture, and we'll go ahead and read. Got one verse that I want to read to you. Brother Richard, I'm going to step over here and see if you still had me. I believe I can still hear me. Amen. All right. We didn't know if we got this thing right or not. I didn't know which end we're supposed to use. But at any rate, let's look here at verse number 1. Joshua chapter 13. You there? Amen. All right, the Bible says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years." Has anybody heard that come to him? And he says, beyond that, "And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the entrance of thy word. And God, I thank you, Lord, for your presence and the sweet spirit that's here tonight. Thank you for these young ones, Lord, that have ministered to our minds and our hearts here tonight. And God, as we come into this, the Scriptures, Lord, I pray, God, that you just move in a mighty way. Touch us, Lord, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. If you can tell by the text, I'm going to be preaching to old people tonight. Now, you can be young at heart, but generally speaking, I am preaching to old people. You sit down. And if this doesn't touch you in this manner, I've also got a message within the message to the young people, Miss E. But let's see what the Word of God has for us, and I believe it'll be a blessing, and I trust it's going to be a challenge and encourage you. Even up us folks that are getting old and up in years. And I can say this to you, I am one of them, amen. I'm one of them. But as we look here of the servant Joshua, I want to make just two statements to begin with as we look. This verse is kind of twofold. First of all, we know Joshua much, if not more, about being that of a warrior for God. Joshua spent most of his life on the battlefield. That in serving the Lord. But there's another thing that is said here, and it is that the Word of God says unto us, "And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." Now, Joshua was simply a warrior for God, but he was also a real estate tycoon. And we're going to see this here in the Word of God, and he has much labor, much work that he needs to be doing. And if we look back into the book of Joshua, and I only touch on this momentarily, I've got to preach fast and furious to get through this. But as we look here, we see the charge, we see the commission of Joshua here in chapter 1. And let me just read this real quickly and then we'll move on. The Bible says there in verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Now this is the second part of verse 1 of Joshua chapter 13, of that of Joshua being in the real estate business. In verse number 7 he says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Whether on the battlefield as a warrior, or that of the inheritance conveyances unto the people of the lands that God has led him into that he would surely conquer and those lands to be possessed. Let me say this to you tonight, beloved. You can't possess anything unless you have dominion over it, unless you have control over it. In this case, it's going to necessitate that Joshua go in and fight the enemies of all of the different Ite families that exist in the land in that day and time. They're going to have to conquer in order to possess. And then in that possession, the inheritance can be disseminated into the manner that they needed to go. Now Joshua, a servant of God, as I've stated already, was a successor to that of his mentor, Moses. And he's continuing the work that had begun in his younger years. We see the first account of Joshua in the book of Exodus. And as time will not permit, we'll just touch on just a few things as we work here through this course. And with that word course, I'm reminded of that of staying the course. And Joshua did that until his death, under the command and the commission and the leadership of Jehovah God. And one can state, I believe, to his personal recognition, that he was a faithful servant who started strong and finished strong. I kind of gave Brother Gary a lead-in on what the Lord had laid on my heart here tonight. But oh, to be remembered in such like manner that we surely, as we have started, not only will we finish strong, but unto that point we will continue strong for the Lord. No ups and downs, ins and outs, here's and abouts, hit and miss, they're going to be continuously strong for the Lord. How many can attest to the fact that that is your heart's desire here tonight, to continue on in the faith? But as we look at this man, Joshua simply was a man of integrity, morally and spiritually, and I believe that he had impeccable credentials, beloved, in that of his service, but also in that he was a man of valor, and he was a man of war. He was a man, I believe, of relentless persistence, prowess, and that of perseverance, and that for the cause of God. He was never looking back, always continuing, pressing on into the faith, beloved. He was simply a true man of God. He was someone that we could liken or pattern our lives by. But as we look here at Joshua in his earliest years, he's now drifted, I believe, to the shadows, to his coming of age of years, ushering him into the old age, whereas the Scriptures declares unto us, stricken in years. And here, that of recordly to his ultimate death. And the Scriptures tells us in that the last chapter that he lived to be 110 years old, and then he passed. But as we see this, I think of what a prestigious portrayal that all could do well, as I said, to pattern our lives by, regardless of age, young and old alike. But he gave it all that he could as long as he could. And beloved, that ought to be the desire of each and every one of us here tonight. It doesn't matter whether you're a preacher, a teacher, a singer, a teacher, a worker, my friends, in all the different areas of the church. It matters not. You are to continue on as God has equipped you for the service of God continuously in all of these things. But now, as we look here in our text, here in chapter 13 of the book of Joshua, this is believed to be in the latter years of his life. And there exists a consensus, I believe, amongst most historians and Bible scholars and theologians that Joshua and Caleb were approximately of the same age. Now, in looking at this, there's a lot of research that could be done in the Scriptures in this regard. But here, of that being said, it is a possibility of some Bible scholars that Joshua may have been somewhat older, maybe 5-10 years older than actually what Caleb was. But as we look this, we're not going to debate and research all of this here in the time that we have tonight. But with this, regardless, both men would have been in their elder years as of the time of this writing. And as we look at this, if you'll go back, and I believe the Scriptures will plainly lead us and guide us into that proximity of ages of these two men. And as we've already said, they were somewhat close, it is believed, into that of the age. But here, beloved, if you'll look back, and we'll not go here tonight, as I say, time is limited with us. But if you'll look back into the book of Numbers in chapters 13 and 14, you can see that of the life of Caleb and that of Joshua. And then, beloved, if you look in chapter 14 of the book of Joshua, not going there, we can see the record of Caleb. And as we would look there, we see that Caleb was 85 years old by his own testimony. Now, if we look at this in its context, we can surely see, beloved, that here we're looking at two men in ages of 85 to 90 years old. These men are not spring chickens, amen. They are in the middle ages of their lives as the lifespan is looked upon in that day and time. Beloved, as I look around the congregation here tonight, I know that some of us are up into the elder years. We may be, some of us in here tonight, 80, 85, and 90. But the message I'm trying to get across to you is that Joshua stayed on course throughout the tenure of his life. And that's the encouragement that we need to have in our churches today, beloved. We need to preach this. We need to hold to it. We need to encourage. We need to challenge our congregations that we would surely keep on keeping on for Jesus in these last days, beloved. Now, as we look here just a little bit farther, I believe in that regard, in that concern, there is still a demonstration from the man Joshua. There's still some steam in the engine, amen. Praise God. Listen, I don't have the steam I used to have, but praise God, I can toot my whistle just a little bit on something that's left. Praise God, I'm going to tell you something. If we seek God and His face, and if God knows the desires of our heart is to that of serve Him, whether it's regardless of what we do, what He's called us, what He's equipped us to do, praise God, we've got a God that will provide, amen. I am assured of that as surely as I can be. But beloved, as we see here, whatever the case, we can see Joshua proving himself to be a worthy servant, serving a worthy God for a worthy cause, amen. And I don't believe that that ever changed from day one to the last day for this man Joshua. Maybe just take a brief few moments, if we will here, and let's look at some of this servant's work ethics, hopefully to bring greater inspiration and initiative that we finish strong, whether having started out strong or not. I know when I got saved, beloved, I started out strong. The wife can attest to the fact, beloved, that I had to go to every revival in town. I had to go to every singing in town. Hey, listen, beloved, I walked around with a Bible in my hand, and the Virginia State Police was almost ready to fire me because they couldn't shut me up to preaching to them, amen. That's all right, praise God. I put them on the run. I put them on the run. But let's look here just a little bit further as we go. Now, you remember Brother Dale Bob Steele? Well, now, Bob was my mentor, amen. And he taught me well. Just smile at him and tell him about Jesus, amen. Praise God, sometimes I wasn't smiling too much, but at any rate, I told him about Jesus. But as we look at this, Joshua, and I'm trying to encourage you tonight, that I may be encouraged and others may be encouraged, beloved. But as we see here, first of all, if we went back, and we don't need to turn there tonight, but if you go back into the book of Exodus, you'll see there in chapter 17, I believe it is, where they go and have the battle at Rephidim. And there, my friends, on the battle scene in that regards, here we're going up against the Amalekites and that of Amalek. And there they are engaged in one horrific battle. And as we see the scene, and I'm sure pastors probably preached on this, I have preached on this, but as we look upon the scene, here is Moses upon the hill. And there upon the hill, beloved, he has Aaron and Hur with him. What about the man Joshua? Joshua is in the valley. Joshua is in the valley where the warfare was ongoing. Beloved, let me say this to you. The spiritual aspects and that of the physical aspects has to come in, engage one with another in this regard. As we look at Moses, he's there, and beloved, the Bible says he's got a rod in his hand. And when he would hold this rod up, the armies of Israel would prevail of what was going on in the valley. And beloved, as his arms got heavy and they got weak, his hands were tired, my friends, then it was when the enemy started overcoming that of the Israeli army. But my friends, here was Aaron and Hur, and there they set a stone up underneath of him, a rock that he could sit upon. Thank God, don't we like the rock tonight, amen, that we can seat ourselves upon and situate ourselves upon. But here they set him upon the stone, Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side, and there they stayed his hands. I believe, my friends, the whole time that Moses was on that hill, he was lifting up his mind and his heart unto Jehovah God for that which the need was. As Joshua was down there in the bloody warfare that was occurring there in the valley, I believe that while Moses was looking up, Moses was praying up because he was holding his rod up. I believe that Joshua himself was looking down and casting down because he had a sword in his hand. Amen. This thing all came together to a victory for that of the army of Israel. And the Bible says this continued on till the going down of the sun. And there, my friends, Israel stood victorious. And then, beloved, what about the story about spying out the land? We see that in Numbers in chapter 13 and 14 of the Word of God. And we know the story there. And I'm not going to get into the depths of any of this. I have to move on. But we can see there that Joshua and Caleb were found in this situation to be that of the faithful servants of God. 10, my friends, brought back an evil report of the land that was to be spied out. And let me say this to you. God did not send them into the land to spy it out. Moses did. You know why? Because God knew what was over there. God knew that they could take the land. God had given them the land to take, amen. So this wasn't of God's choosing. It was of man's choosing. They go over there. They look the land over. God has presented all of the evidences before him. And as the story goes, as you may well know, they come back and here the 10 of those leaders of the tribes, my friends, came back and said unto that of the man of God, he says, we can't take it. We can't go over there. They've got giants in the land, and we're just as grasshoppers before them. Beloved, I say to you here tonight, I'm not a grasshopper, praise God. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, praise God. Hey, listen. God and me are the majority in any situation, amen. It doesn't matter what it is. But here, Joshua and Caleb come back with a good report, stating unto Moses and to the rest of the congregation of the people that we can go in and we can take that land. And surely that is the land of milk and honey, exactly what Jehovah God had promised unto them. Here they are at the edge of Kadesh Barnea. And my friends, here within 11 miles of crossing over into the promised land. And yet they would not go. They would not go. And the Bible tells us through this that God brought judgment on the rest of those men and their families in that regard, that only Joshua and that of Caleb stood the test. And they, my friends, came through this alive. That's the reason we find over here in the book of Joshua that these two men, based on the scriptures of what it says and conveys unto us, that's the reason both of these men were still alive. They were still alive. You know why? They're still serving God. They're still serving God. They were serving God at the time, and they're still serving God. Next thing we know, we see that of the fall of Jericho. Could you ever believe that a march and a shout and the sound of a trumpet would bring a city down? Praise God, I don't think Joshua believed it. I believe Joshua was sitting up there, Brother Rick. I believe Joshua was up there. And I can envision this, and I can see, picture this. And y'all just bear with me. Just entertain me, amen, and let me have my way here. But I believe there's a possibility that Joshua was sitting there in the night. And I believe, you know, the battle plan was to go in the next day. And they was going to send the fortified service of regiments and all of the different groups in a battle plan and an attack to be executed on the city of Jericho. And as you can imagine, the campfires around there that night where you could see just silhouettes everywhere. Now, like I said, this is not in the Bible, but praise God, this is what He's gave me to look at, amen. But here, I believe Joshua was sitting here and he was praying, and there he was seeking God's will and he was seeking God's direction in order to go in to take down this city, a fortified city, a great city, my friends, that they were going to try to dissolve and take control of. And here, beloved, as we see that someone else is on the scene, and that someone has told him that he is the captain of the Lord's host. Because Joshua goes to him. He sees him afar. He says, "Are you with us or against us?" He says, "Nay, I am now come as the captain of the Lord's host." Joshua is standing in the very presence, I believe, of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Amen. And I can imagine what he thought when he gave the instructions about how to take the city. Now, can you imagine Joshua saying, "My goodness, what kind of angel is this that the Lord has set down? He's telling me to go around and march around this place and then go back and give a shout and the sounds of a trumpet and it's going to fall, we're going to walk in and I've never seen a battle plan like that. Do it. Do it. God says, march, shout, and blow the trumpet. You do it, amen. And guess what? All was success. And what I like about this too is when Joshua came into the location there of Jericho, the Bible tells us, we go back into chapter 4, and then in chapter 5 is where we see this event happening, that before they even got there, before they even set up camp outside of Jericho, as they come across the river there, that they put fear in the hearts of the kings of there, that there was no more within them that they could come and confront and combat the army of God. But let me say this to you in this regard. We go on to chapter number 8 of the book of Joshua, right after all of this event. We're really in chapter 7. In chapter 7, through the disobedience of God's people, they got themselves bruised up some. In fact, they lost the battle. But then, beloved, we can see in chapter 8, they're victorious. You know why? Because there was an obedience of God. Disobedience of God is what brought the problems and the difficulties on the people. Then we can look on over into the chapters 10 and 11 and 12. In fact, if you can look back in your Bible, depending how it is set forth, located here, you can see in chapter 12 all of the kings and the kingdoms and the lands that Joshua and the people of God has conquered. But if you go on back, chapters 10 and chapter 11, you can also see more of these battle engagements. Joshua was a very active man. And let me say this to you. Not all of these battles, beloved, could be resolved in just a matter of a few days, a few months, or a few years. This was a lifetime work of Joshua. It's a lifetime work. And I don't believe, my friends, that any of us has had to stay on the battlefield with a sword and a spear and a shield and a club and any other means to make our way through this life and the service of God. Such a simple task for us compared to the people of old. But as we look here, this is more or less where we can see that Joshua is retiring from the battlefield and he's going full-time into the real estate business. And I'm not going to go into all of this, but there's many more extraordinary events of this servant's life that could be presented. But the message emphasis is not as much the gallant and the admirable things of accomplishment Joshua did, but that of the persistency and consistency that things were continually before. Joshua started strong. Joshua continued strong. And Joshua finished strong. The entire tenure of that of his appointed years. And thus, as I said to you, may we endeavor, beloved, to do as God has equipped us to do, each and every one of us here tonight, regardless of years, young and old alike. And for the young who may have come to think that that's it, I forgot to touch on that of you, I've got news for you. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Like I said, there's a message for the young here in the message of that of the old. And as we look over here, in the book of Ecclesiastes. And when we read this and when we look at this, may I encourage you to let us give diligence that we compare spiritual things with spiritual, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look here in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1. I'm sorry. What is the first word that you're looking at?
Remember.
Now that's the key. Remember. Now contextually, we got to make sure that we are in the right frame of that of the content, of its context. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. If you would look at the remaining part of that chapter, we go back from the young back to the old people again. You say, I don't want another message on old tonight. I'm not going to give you one. But I'm sure you're aware of it, and its illustrativeness is that of humorous, if you would look at it. At least I take it humorously. Hey, I'd like to live to be that old to experience some of these things. Amen. I realize I'm going to lose my faculties, but when you read that, you'll think, hey, I'm just sitting on a bump on the log here. I'm not able to do anything. But as we look at this, beloved, I want you to take this, and this is exclusive to the young. And as we see this, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, let me say this to you. Old folk, that's not looking back to your younger days. You know why? You can't do anything about those younger days, can you? Now that it's all over with. At my age, where I failed in my younger years to perform those things that I needed to do, I can't go back and rectify those or reacquaint myself with those to renew myself to that, to do that which needs to be done. I can't do it. That's not what the verse means. It doesn't mean to sit around and think back, recall back, or look back to your younger years. What it is saying, in your younger years, remember God. While you're young, just like the children and the younger people out here working with the children here tonight, we don't need to sit back here at 70, 80, 85 years old and say, I wish I was a little more attentive to the young children when I was able to do more things. Beloved, if you're here tonight, you're still able to do something. You know, most folks don't like that pastorly advice. That's the reason the pastor commandeered me to give it tonight. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Look at this again of what the Word of God is saying. Remember, now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, that's the very days that the remaining of this chapter concludes with, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And Brother Bob was telling me about my bologna sandwich message that I preached a couple years ago. Brother Bob, I just say this to you in that regard, and this is what came to my mind when I read this text and read that verse, and it says, I have no pleasure in them. I still have pleasure in a bologna sandwich, amen. But it's those other things that I like to do. Go fishing all day and half the night. Get out and go here, go there. Everything Mom says, I say, yes, I'll do that. What else would you like, honey? That list just keeps getting longer now because I just don't have it to do it, amen. But as we see this, we are to do as we are in that time that God has given us. Young and old alike, this life of service to God, it's not just a leisurely walk in the park. And beyond that, beloved, it's not a walk in that of a casual walk. It's not a slow jog. It is not, my friends, a sprint. Nor is it a relay. Even though I believe, Pastor, that most church people today, about the best that you can graduate them to is a relay run. You know why? If you run a 440 or 880, and I'm going back to my, I'm remembering my youth now, I can't run 440s and 880s anymore. Don't think this. You think you can, I know. But when you look at this, you've got four people that runs these races. And on these different legs that they run, you got runner number one, runner number two, runner number three, and then ultimately runner number four is what they refer to as the anchor man. That takes the thing to the finish line. Remember, start strong, continue strong, and finish strong. You don't see that in this. And as I said, this is a whole lot like church people in this day and time. They may be the first man running, or ladies. You can be the first one running, and guess what you do when you get up to the second runner? You are passing the baton off to that person. And then you go on over here and do this. And here's the second person running along, and they get to the third person, and what do? They pass the baton. Now you've got two sitting around watching the race. They get to the third person, the same thing. And then to the last person who finally takes the baton and gets it across the finish line. The Apostle Paul taught us about races. And that race is for us to run from start to finish. It's not a relay run to pass off to somebody else. And oh, how many times have I heard people in the church say, I've done put in my time. I'll pass this on to somebody else to take care of. God help you. God help you. That's not continuing strong. That's not even going to get you to finishing strong. Brother Gary, was it as rough as what you was expecting tonight? Let me say this to you. This endurance that we're involved in church, it's a marathon. Not a 26, not a half marathon, a 13.1, 13.2. It's not a half. It's a marathon that does not cease until we draw our last breath and our heart beats for the last time. I want to keep on keeping on for the Lord tonight. Don't you? Let me say this. You don't have to resort to great and mighty works. Most of us may be past that time. Great and mighty works may not be in your schedule. The Lord may not be working in that, but I do say this. You can work the works of Him that has sent you. That's what Jesus said. We need to work the works of Him that sends while it is day. Yes, and we need to continue that until the night comes. See, I kind of rearranged that verse just a little bit. Until the night comes. We are to work not for great and admirable things, but we're working for a great God. Brother Dale, you come up here and lead the choir. Hey, brother, listen, it's all right to be spiritual. It's all right to put what you have in it, to put every bit of oomph in it. Pastor, you just keep preaching the way you're preaching. You was talking about being here another 10 years. You keep preaching the way you're preaching. You may not be here another 10 years. But you can stand before a holy and a righteous God one day and say, Lord, I gave it all. I started strong. I continued strong. And I finished strong because You are the one that placed the finish line before me. No other. And even in our golden years, we can pick up a telephone and call somebody and give them a reinsurance and an encouragement. I see a vegetable back there full of tracts and gospel materials. When's the last time that we handed something to a clerk in the way of a gospel tract? Our pockets ought to be full of them. Our pocketbooks. We ought to be fast and immediately on hand to do the Lord's work. Say, preacher, I'm just not able. Send somebody a card. Say, thinking about you, praying for you. That's a ministry.
Sure
There's every ministry that you think. There are bed steel ministries for the ministries of the afflicted. There's always something to do. I found out in my pastoring years, there's as much out here to do as I wanted to do. Do we pace ourselves? Yes. We're no good to God, beloved, if we're down. We need to use reasonableness. Just like Brother Bob Steele told me one time, he says, Larry, you can just preach and preach and preach, but he says, you need to take a vacation. God wants you to rest. I didn't listen to him very well. Start, continue. Serve your church. Serve your pastor. Most importantly, serve him. How many tonight, and I'm through, how many tonight would want to hear those most desirable words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd give it all, Pastor, if that's what it took to hear those words. As unworthy as what I am, but as worthy as what He is. Just to hear those words from His lips. Oh God, help us. Help us. You started strong? Continue strong. I look around, yes, like Joshua, there are some old people in here, but you still have to continue in the race. Don't set it down. Keep it going. God bless you. Y'all still like me all right? Y'all still love me all right? Are we still brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you going to ride me out tonight from the parking lot on the rail? Thank God I'm going to shut up while I'm ahead. Father, I do thank You, Lord, for this privilege and this opportunity to stand before these people, Lord. I pray, God, that You'd move and touch each and every heart. And Father, I pray, Father, that You'd help each and every one of us, Lord, young and old alike, that we just keep on keeping on for Jesus in these last days. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for its pastor. I pray for each and every one, Lord, here, that we would wake up into the morning and there we could just stand before God and say, Lord, here I am reporting for duty. Send me. So, Lord, just help us, guide us and direct us, and we'll thank You, we'll praise You, Lord, for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.